And Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace. We repent for every word, thought, and deed, and anything we've done that's offended you. We ask that you wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, fill us with your spirit, as we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and bring us fresh oil. Fresh oil. Master, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive. Melt every wall. Every wall. Remove every hindrance. Anything that would cause us to stumble and that would bring offense to you. Search us through, Dad, and remove those things that we may be more like you. And continue to fill us with fresh oil and grant us revelation that we may be about your business in true spirit and in power, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now go give somebody a Holy Ghost hug. Tell them this is your day or your night. John 10. Would everybody go there, please? John chapter 10 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Now, you know, how many of y'all know that the Lord wants us to walk in total freedom? I mean, he wants us to walk in freedom in every area of our life. And he wants us to prosper. And in this, you know, the last verse that I read, in the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In other words, this life abundant, in fact, life abundant is a representation of overflowing, more than enough. He is giving his life in exchange for our old life, a life of deception and bondage, for a life of truth and freedom. There is an exchange that he was making for me and you. That's why in the last verse that I read, he says he gives his life. And so in this, as he's given his life for me and you, there is another life that he has for us. His life. It's amazing how people are still fighting for their own life and not fighting for the life of Christ. Because the more you fight for the life of Christ, the more abundant you will have. And I'm talking about spiritually. See, you can't prosper until your soul prospers. Other than that, it'll have a form of prosperity, but it always gets lost. It can't be maintained. Now, in this life abundance that God has, he wants to keep us in a place where the devil can't steal, kill, or destroy. So the devil's always trying to get access to us in some way or another. I mean, no matter what it is, I'm telling you, he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. That means that you and I can't give up either. That means that we must maintain a position in battle. We must be disciplined, and we must be willing to do whatever it takes. And I'm talking at all times, not just any time or when you feel like it. Remember last week or whatever, we were talking about living out of emotions or living out of truth. Well, we can't live out of emotions. We must live out of truth. And the Bible says that truth sets us free, but practicing the truth sets us free. So we can't go by how we feel. We must go by what he says. And God wants to bring life and life abundantly to me and you. The exchange for his life, for our old life. That we can walk in freedom. A life with no limitations. A life with no limitations. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Did you ever hear that saying, get God out of the box? You know, that's putting God in limitations, isn't it? Did you ever get around somebody that no matter what you say, they're so negative? I mean, no matter what. Man, you know what? They don't have life abundance, and they can't. No matter what you try to explain to them or what you try to say to them, there's a negative thing behind it. And that means there's a spirit behind it too. That person has what you call a personal wall. And God wants us to have a life without walls. That is the only way that you can have abundance, is to have a life without walls. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is everybody there? In verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Anybody know what the word Christ means? Anointed one and his anointing. So the veil is taken away and the anointing. But even to this day, when Moses has read, the veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is what? Freedom. I mean, this is so powerful. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, who's the Spirit of the Lord? He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. So the enemy always tries to blind us or put a wall in our life so we can't go any further. See, because you can't see beyond the wall. Only through the Spirit can you. Is everybody with me? Without the Holy Spirit, there is no freedom. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no freedom. That's why there's a lot of people who can quote scriptures and even page numbers, and they're not free. Because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to access certain areas of their life. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where He is not, there is deception and bondage. And in this area, this is where a person becomes a prisoner. He becomes a prisoner. He becomes a prisoner to the enemy. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But the devil loves to build walls in our life to reject the Spirit from getting into areas. And God wants us to have a life without walls. Go to Acts chapter 10. I remember when somebody got dropped off at the discipleship house, and the people that dropped off the person, they kept saying things. Oh, we're afraid for you, and all of this other stuff. And I finally got to the point where I got angry. I'm like, man, what? I said to them, are you guys believers? And they said, yes. I said, good. Everybody out of the house. And then I broke every word that was being spoke over this person, and I prophesied in that person's life about freedom, breaking off these things. Because, see, individuals can actually assist in building walls in your life by what they're saying, because what you come in agreement with. Is everybody all right? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In other words, the anointing by the Holy Spirit was to bring healing. It was actually to bring freedom. Free those who are oppressed or imprisoned by the devil. So everybody got it. The Holy Spirit is the one who shuts, breaks, tears down the chains of bondage that individuals have been taken prisoner by the devil. Go to Isaiah 14. One of the things we don't want to do is put limitations on the Lord, and the Lord is trying to remove the limitations from our life that the devil's put on us. And He does that by building walls. Walls in our life. Now, we have a teaching called personal walls, but I want to do a teaching today, a life without walls. Because that's called abundant life, is a life without walls. Isaiah 14. Did you ever share with some, you ever talk to someone, you know that they're really deceived? Well, in that deception, there's a wall built. Because it's called a wall of deception. They're deceived. They can't hear, they can't receive, they can't do anything. They have a false belief and there's a false protection there. And they think that this protection that they have is good for them, but it's actually enslaving them. It's an imprisoning them. But God wants these walls out of our life so that we can have a life without walls and walk in full, full abundance and freedom. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, would you read it with me? How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Boy, he had a lot of eyes there, didn't he? And here's the response of the Lord. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the idiot, the man, who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? You who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the what? House of his prisoners. Who did not open the house of what? His prisoners. Wow. Who did not open the house of his prisoners. Now, what's the house represent? Us. Wow. In other words, they were POWs. And I'm not saying they were prisoners of war. They were prisoners of walls. Are you listening? They were prisoners of walls. Not wars. Every prison has walls. Did you never notice that? There's dungeons, walls of bars, but walls. The only way to have an abundant life is to have a life without walls. That's it. So, who's behind this? Satan. He's the one that establishes walls in your life and imprisons you. And you become a prisoner of walls. Let's go a little further. The devil establishes walls. Now listen to this. The devil will establish walls with attacks, especially at a younger age. He does this to instill false beliefs. And these false beliefs will build walls of false protection. Abuse is a child's worst enemy. Whether physical, verbal, or sexual. It scars them for life until the Spirit of Christ has access to heal and bring freedom from false protection. These are false protecting walls that Satan has established in these innocent lives. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation that the devil, Satan, the dragon, was standing waiting for the woman to give birth. And he does that even today. Inherited curses and so forth. He loves to abuse children. Why? Because he knows he can scar them and establish walls in their life. In any way he can. Walls of mistrust and fear keeps individuals in a state of survival. And they can't surrender. Because they can't trust. These walls of deception do not protect them. They actually prevent freedom from entering. So they have a false sense of these walls that they establish protecting them. But they're actually preventing freedom from accessing them. They're not protecting them. Offense and unforgiveness, pride and lying and anger. stress or worry are false protecting walls that prevent the light of truth to penetrate and expose false beliefs that establish the wall of deception, keeping them imprisoned so they can become prey to the prison keeper. Prisoners of walls. Jesus wants us to have a life without walls and limitations, and to be open to His Spirit with a life of freedom and abundance. You know, so many times, even you can come across an individual, and because of their false belief, because of something that's happened in their life, that they've established this protecting wall. And this protecting wall is so strong in their life that it prevents the Spirit or even truth from penetrating until they are willing to come to a place where that wall becomes so irritating to them because they're seeing so many other people walk in freedom. See, your example to others are going to expose other people's walls. Now, they will either accept it or reject it, and that is up to them. But eventually, they will become prey to the enemy. And what I mean by prey to the enemy, and that is he gets fed. He's like a vulture that stores up food. And he goes and he gets fed on it because he gets fed by emotion. So if there is a wall built of fear, he knows that you're enslaved as a POW, prisoner of wall, and you're his food. When he needs to get fed from you, that's all he needs to do is go irritate that, and fear comes up, and he's get fed. So what he's actually doing is using our bodies as a place to store his food. That's why these walls must be exposed and removed, so we can walk in full abundance and freedom. We don't want to be a storehouse to the devil. We want to be a light to the Lord and be filled with oil in every area. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse, I think it's 47. Did you ever get around somebody that's never satisfied, never content? And I'm talking about the area of they're wanting more and more material or more recognition or whatever. They're just wanting more. Instead of more of God's presence, they're wanting more of everything else. They're wanting more. See, what they're doing is there's a wall built. And in this wall, it's because they can't get fed from God. So they're looking for something else to get fed by. Are you listening? It's difficult for them. They're never content. They're always wanting more. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47, would you read it with me? Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls, in which you what? Trust, come down throughout all your land, and they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout your land, which the Lord your God has given you. See, what happens in here, an individual really begins to trust in these walls for protection that the enemy has established. In other words, they can't serve the Lord with full joy. They're always grumbling and complaining. There's always something involved, something there. They can't go any further. That's what the Bible says, that they're always learning, 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 but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth to get free, because there are personal walls that have been established in their temple. Now, the Bible says this, a house divided cannot stand. These walls will divide your house. They will divide your temple. And your temple will have a hard time standing. Addiction is a wall. It's actually used to protect, because it tries to cover certain things in life of dealing with, because individuals can't deal with certain things. It's a curse. And these walls are curses in our life also. In these walls, it is a false protection, because it's established by a false lie or a false belief. A false belief. That's why somebody can't get closer to God. That's why some people can't even get close to people. They fear of opening themselves up because they've been hurt so many times, because these hurts have established walls. But the Bible says, he who's in Christ is a new creation, and all things pass away and all things are becoming new. That means the anointing is essential. The presence of God is essential. Why? Because the presence of God will begin to expose these walls, where you could actually start breaking some of them down by repentance through the blood. Is everybody okay? But some individuals refuse to look. They're waiting for somebody else. Ezekiel chapter 8, would you go there, please? Some people just like to feed the devil, I guess. They like to be the storehouse for him, because they're looking for pity. The woe is me-y. They love oppression. It makes them feel good, because they're living out of emotion, and oppression is a terrible emotion. Ezekiel chapter 8. In verse 6, now I guess I'll start at verse 5. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the north. And there, north of the altar gate, was this image of a jealousy in the entrance. Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, you will see greater abominations. So he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. And he said to me, Son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, there was a door. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. So I went in and I saw in there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around on the walls. See, these walls are significant in the area where they portray abominations towards God. And this is one of the things that the devil wants to establish. They are also idols in the individual's life will build these walls. Because individuals are looking for idols, they're looking for false fulfillment. Remember, the Lord divorced Israel for idolatry, for worshiping other gods. And an idol can be established as a security. And anything that is false security is called insecurity. And God wants to remove all of these things from our temples so that we can be totally freed and filled with his presence, so that clarity can be maintained, so that sight can be maintained, so his love can be maintained, so his power can be maintained. Anything that will have support or feed the flesh always promotes a wall. It almost dams up and prevents the flow of the Spirit. Is everybody okay? The walls in the temple that are established by darkness, these walls contain idols or false beliefs. that are worshipped. They're what? Worshipped. Go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12 and verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the what? Spirit of God. That's the anointing. I love it. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house? Hello. And plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. A strong man is a watchman over a wall. He's going to always try to keep that wall up. That's his job. A strong man is a high-ranking demon who is a watchman over the wall. He says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. A strong man, again, is a watchman over the false wall of protection. We must bind him and cast him out. In other words, deliverance is needed. And I believe God is bringing the body of Christ through deliverance. Those who are willing to get rid of the walls. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is going through deliverance in every area. And walls are being exposed. There are walls being exposed in people's lives that they didn't even know they had before. Because God's presence is coming stronger. And by God's presence coming stronger, he's going to expose more. Go to Hebrews 11. Hey, glory. That's why when we go through deliverance, we must maintain it. Anything that you will come in agreement with, the voice of the stranger will begin to produce a wall. And we don't need any more wall builders in our temple. We need to get rid of wall builders. I think they're called gremlins. I don't know. No. Is everybody okay? In Hebrews 11:24, would you read it with me? By faith what? Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So we see that by faith or trust in the promises of God and things that he's given you to complete, in other words, commands he's given you to complete, you will find that these walls will begin to come down. He always has a plan for us to bring these walls down. But you must cooperate with God. In fact, the walls of Jericho came down. They had to circle for 7 days. And it was the priests that sounded the trumpets. And then everybody gave a shout. Come out. In other words, it was supernatural deliverance that brought the walls of Jericho down, and they wanted and plundered their enemy. By faith, Nahum, who went to serve in Elijah, who was plagued, afflicted by leprosy, was a man of valor. And he was told to go dip into Jordan 7 times. He had a hard time with that because the Jordan was cold and dirty. He couldn't understand how God can heal him there. But see, what he was asked to do was to complete something. See, sometimes obedience and completing something will bring deliverance. Do you ever get around somebody who just can't trust God no matter what? I mean, you can talk to them until you're blue in the face. You've talked too much then. You know, you want to tell them that how the Lord can free them and so forth. And you know, you want to help them. Man, you need to lay this stuff down or whatever. You give them these deliverance prayers and they keep calling you back going, man, I'm still having problems. You read the deliverance prayer yet? No, I didn't. Well, you bonehead. What do you think I gave you those for? I get people to come up to me all the time and ask for prayer. The first thing I ask, did you read the deliverance prayer? No. I'm not praying for you. Pray for yourself. Why? Because you didn't complete what's given to you. Because if you begin to complete everything that God gives you, deliverance is at hand. But when you reject what God has given to you, you build another wall and the devil has access to you. Pride is a big wall. These are false protecting walls that are established by false beliefs because of agreements that have been established by the voice of the stranger. That's why they're called familiar spirits. They're out to build walls in your temple because a house divided cannot stand. Oh, yeah. Is everybody okay? So there are things that God is asking us to complete so we can be free. You know, in our discipleship house, we're required to do these deliverance prayers and daily confessions 7 times a day for 7 days. What is God asking you to do now? So that you can complete something so that the wall can come down and the flow of the Spirit can come. You know, when you ask for counsel from the Lord, he usually tells you what you need to do, doesn't he? To get free. He may tell you to fast. He may tell you to worship. He may tell you to do something. He may tell you, he may expose certain things in your life that he's saying, confess and repent for these things in your life so that the blood will wash the sin and have access by the Spirit to help break down that wall. But you don't understand. I've been abused. I've been rejected. I've been this. I've been that. Man, you got too many eyes. There is no trust in God then. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And verse 15. It says, and the Lord God took the man, Adam, that he created, and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. In other words, he put him in a place of protection. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you're going to die. You're going to what? You're going to die, brother. So Adam was put in the garden by God, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat of it, because it would bring a false protection. He knew that it would bring something in him that would bring a false belief that would establish walls. He said, you could eat of all the trees because there's a tree of life. But if you eat of the tree in the garden of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to have trouble. You're going to actually die. In Genesis 3:7, it says that when Adam and Eve ate, then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves to cover and made themselves coverings. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. That was a wall right there. It was a false protection, wasn't it? Is everybody okay? In verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why did they hide themselves? Because they were afraid. Fear brought a wall. It was a false protection. So you see, it established physically also because they covered themselves. Why? Because they were afraid now. So they established, their own, a wall was established. It was a false protecting wall. The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you at, man? He said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. And I love it when he says, who told you that, man? Did you eat of that tree, Adam? Yep. Mm-hmm. In verse 21, and it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothing. So the Lord had to do something to cover, to remove that covering that they established on them. That was a wall, to remove that so they can continue to be fruitful and multiply. So he put blood there. He covered, he removed the fig leaves, and he put blood there so that the spirit would have access so they can become fruitful and multiply, or they'd have been bound forever, even though they were going to die. Is everybody okay? So they sow these fig leaves, right, from the false protecting walls to imprison them with fear. But the Lord removed their covering with the blood and freedom to be fruitful and multiplied was restored. But they would end up dying. That he did not restore. Because the blood of an animal could not replace the life. It could only cover. In Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Did you ever notice that in the scriptures, many of the apostles were put in prison? Even John the Baptist was put in prison. The devil had them put in prison, but they were not in prison. They were only in prison. They were not a prisoner of their own prisoners of walls. They were in prison by walls in the natural. And they were put in prison many times in stripes, but it didn't bother them, did it? Because, let me tell you, we minister in the jail, and there are people in there that are in prison, but they've really been set free now. So they're in prison doing time, but they're really not in prison. Anybody get that? Cool. Because they're actually in the physical prison, but not in a spiritual one. And there's a difference between being a prisoner in the spiritual compared to being a prisoner in the physical. So even though that they're prisoners in a jail or in a prison, they can be walking free. In fact, sometimes when individuals are out there long enough, they want to go to prison. They want to get caught because they can't handle the torment of the spiritual prison that's within them. They want to get snagged so they can get into prison to get free. In Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 1. Then I raised my eyes and I looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem to see what it is width and what its length is. And there was the angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude of men and the livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. See, God wants to be your wall of fire. You have a hedge of protection around you. You don't need to build personal walls. You need to get them broke down. Go to Psalm 34. A life without walls is abundance. This is where you must judge yourself. What do you fear? What are you holding on to? What part of the world are you still holding on to? Where's the area that the devil is still building walls? Where's that deception? Because these walls are deception. Where you're not allowing the spirit to have access to. What are you rejecting? Remember, these walls don't protect you. They prevent freedom. In this, these walls are established by false beliefs. False beliefs. In Psalm 34 and verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and what? Delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as they have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Let me share something with you. Anything that you are justifying is associated with a wall. Justification is a lie and a false belief. It always associates with building a wall. In verse 20, he who guards all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. You know, one of the strongest walls that I have seen, of course, you know, through a fence or whatever. But one of the strongest walls I've seen is religion. A religious wall is very difficult. And this wall is built by pride and fear. And it's so prideful that it's afraid it might get exposed. The only thing it wants to do is protect its face. Pride and fear. Pride and fear is religion. Because there isn't freedom there, is there? It is a wall. It is a religious wall that prevents the spirit to expose the fear and pride that's there. And it's established by a false belief. And that's all it can do is justify, reason. Does a lot of talking but can't get free. Quotes a lot of scriptures but can't be free. It loads down individuals with lust because it's wanting something to fulfill. But it actually is prey to the enemy. Is everybody okay? Religion. Did you ever try and talk to a religious individual? Sheesh. I mean, there is a thick wall there, man. They reject. They'll agree with you, but they're actually rejecting everything you're saying. Yeah. And you try to introduce and expose certain things in the spirit, and that wall will shoot up to try and justify why. And I see these religious spirits many times in jail. Many times. And they know the scriptures. And they know the page numbers. But there's such a wall built that they can't get free. And they end up going back all the time. Because of these walls that have been built in their life. See, if you find yourself in cycles of doing things over and over and over, it's because these walls are still there. Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't understand why I keep doing it. Why don't you stop rejecting and stop fighting for your life and start fighting for the life of Christ and let the anointing break everything. You know, that's where you and I must keep up our priesthood. We must keep up our priesthood. Do you ever try to put metal on raw flesh? You know? It hurts, doesn't it? See, your priestly garments is your long underwear underneath your armor. So if you're maintaining your priestly garments, your armor is going to work for you. It won't work against you. It's amazing how many people are trying to go out there and put armor on because they're religious. There's no oil. They're still fighting for materialism. They want to pretty themselves up to look godly, but you can't. Only anointing allows you to be godly. Ephesians 4. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And do not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. How many of y'all know you can grieve the Holy Ghost? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, the Holy Spirit will try to expose walls and prevent walls from being established. Isaiah 10. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost, man. Isaiah 10 and verse 27. It says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away. How many of y'all know that a wall is a burden also? It's actually a false burden. Do you ever get around somebody that wants to pick up everybody's burdens? That's all they're trying to do is decorate the wall. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of what? The anointing oil, God's presence. The anointing oil. See, the anointing will destroy. In 1 John chapter 2, a life without walls. In verse 15, did you ever get around somebody that's codependent? They got walls. Lust is a wall. Verse 15, is everybody there? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, he's an idiot. Hallelujah. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And I'm telling you, he who does the will of God abides forever. Not he who does his own will. He says, little children, it's the last hour, and you have heard the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. In other words, the Spirit is going to show you if you're really listening. You know, I was leaving the jail today, and there was a bunch of new guys coming in, and two of them said, "Hey, Pastor, I was supposed to come to the program. But I tried to email you." I said, "Well, welcome home." So I could say, "Well, you didn't try too hard. How long have you been out?" "Oh, about 2 years." Yeah, I was supposed to. See, they didn't complete what they made a vow to do. It always brings bondage. But praise God. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. He says, "I've not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Verse 22. "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ?" Do you know that a believer can deny Jesus is the Christ? By not obeying. Does everybody understand that? You can deny the Lord by not obeying. I didn't know that. Well, you know it now. "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son." In other words, he doesn't submit to him. "Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you or build walls in your life. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." See, you must understand that it's not a person that's teaching us. It's the anointing that's teaching us. And he is the Spirit. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So in this, I want you to understand the area that God is granting us a life without walls. He is bringing the body of Christ through deliverance. You cry out for deliverance. When he tells you what to do, you fulfill so you can be freed. If you don't complete what he asks you to do, you're not free. That's all will happen is another wall will be built. And this is a little bit more intense than another teaching called personal walls, but the Lord has put on my heart that he wants his children to have a life without walls. Did you ever get around somebody that talks against everything and they don't even know why they're talking against everything? Just because of what they heard or what the devil assumes? Let me tell you, that deception of the voice of the stranger twists everything. Twists everything. Because of those walls. And that's all he does is build more and more walls in our life. And a house divided cannot stand. That's why an individual falls. Because they can't stand. They can't stand against the flow of the enemy coming against them, the fight, the trickery. The devil's always tricking them up because the walls are still in their life. Well, listen, we do not want to be a storehouse for the devil's food. We want to be a storehouse for the King of Glory. We want these temples to be vessels of honor. So whatever it is you're struggling with, there is a wall attached somewhere. There's an emotional attachment that could be building that wall. There is a lie or a belief that is incorrect that is building that wall. But there's a strong man that protects that wall. He's a watchman. And so we must bind the strong man. So you'll know the wall by its fruit. And let me tell you, the devil loves decorating your wall. So don't, you know, take off the decorations and let the anointing bust it down. Repent, expose it, remove it, and ask God for deliverance. And if need be, go through deliverance. Because God is bringing the body of Christ through deliverance. Whatever you're attached to, whatever is that false protection, that insecurity, there is a wall there. There's a wall called materialism. And it really moves people out of position. Competition, it's false competition. People want to be blessed with material to try to give glory to God when they're not walking right. You want to give glory to God, let the glory be expressed by your obedience to the Lord. Let the character of Christ express himself through you. But if there's walls in the way and fears, it's hard for the expression to come through. Let's let God be God and let him expose everything so we can have a life without walls and have a life of freedom. Be willing to do whatever it takes, no matter what. Submit and die. It's a wonderful place to be. Because that's where freedom is. Denying yourself. Picking up your cross. And following him. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, we ask you to continue to expose these walls that have been established in our lives. And I ask, Father, that each and every one here will begin to ask that you'll expose these walls. And that you'll grant us counsel, correction, and direction that these walls can be destroyed. And there will be more of the flow of your Spirit in our life. And a life of abundance and a life without walls. But a total life of freedom that you would be glorified in every area. Lord, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless you. And to Jesus be all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.